President Wilkinson, members of a very able and qualified faculty, and fellow students of the Brigham Young University. I'm honored and pleased to have this privilege of meeting and worshiping with you in your devotional service, and desire most fervently to be guided by the spirit of inspiration so that I may, with propriety, touch upon some spiritual realities, and I hope center the attention of all of us on some of the basic things that we need to do to work out our salvation, to be worthy representative members of God's kingdom here in this life, and to qualify for eternal reward in the realms to be. I'd like to talk about the matter of receiving personal revelation, particularly how to gain revelation, how each individual member of the church can come to know of the divinity of the work, can have the whisperings of the Spirit in his heart and soul, and in addition to that, can see visions, entertain angels, behold the face of the Lord, and receive all the knowledge and wisdom that has been poured out upon faithful people in any age. As a people, we're in the habit of saying that we believe in latter-day revelation. We announce quite boldly that the heavens have been opened, that God has spoken in our day, that angels have ministered to men, that there have been visions and revelations, that no gift and grace that has been possessed by the ancients has been withheld. It's all revealed anew in our day. But ordinarily, when we talk in this way, we're thinking of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and David O. McKay. We're thinking of apostles and prophets, men who are called, selected, who are foreordained to hold the positions they hold and do the ministerial service that is theirs. We're thinking of them and the general principle of the church operating by revelation. Now, there's no question about this. The organization that we belong to is the Lord's kingdom. It's literally such. As the kingdom of God on earth, it's designed to prepare and qualify us to go to the kingdom of God in heaven, which is the celestial kingdom. And this church is guided by revelation. I've sat in meetings with the brethren on several occasions when President McKay, who is the mouthpiece of God on earth, has said, in humility and in fervent testimony, that the veil is thin, that the Lord is guiding and directing the affairs of the church, that it's his church and he's making his will manifest. Now, there's no question at all about this. There's inspiration at the head, and the church is in the line and the course of its duty, progressing in the way that the Lord would have it progress, so that his message can go as rapidly as our strength permits to his other children in the world, and so that we can, as members of the kingdom, cleanse and perfect our lives and be worthy of the choicest blessings here and hereafter. But what I desire to point attention to today is the fact that revelation is not restricted to the prophet of God on earth. The visions of eternity are not reserved for apostles. They're not reserved for the general authorities. Revelation is something that should be received by every individual. God is no respecter of persons. And every soul, in the ultimate sense, is just as precious in his sight as the souls of those that are called to positions of leadership. And because he operates on principles of eternal and universal and never deviating law, any individual who will abide the law that entitles him to get revelation can know exactly and precisely what President McKay knows, can entertain angels just as well as Joseph Smith entertained them, and can be in tune in full measure with all of the things of the Spirit. Now for a text, I read you these words of the prophet Joseph Smith. He said, "Reading the experience of others, or the revelation given to them, can never give us a comprehensive view of our condition and true relation to God. Knowledge of these things can only be obtained by experience through the ordinances of God set forth for that purpose." Now note this statement. Could you gaze into heaven 5 minutes, you would know more than you would by reading all that was ever written on the subject. Well, now I think our concern is to get personal revelation, to know for ourselves, independent of any other individual or set of individuals, what the mind and the will of the Lord is as pertaining to His church and as pertaining to us in our individual concerns. I suppose that we can divide the realm of inquiry into an intellectual field and a spiritual field. While we're here in academic halls, we're seeking knowledge primarily in the intellectual field, which probably comes in most instances by reason and through the senses, somehow or other by laws that are ordained. We have the power through reason and through the senses that God has given us to convey knowledge to the spirit that is within us. The mind of man, the prophet said, is in the spirit. And so we say that we learn certain things. We do this in an intellectual realm. Knowledge comes to us in this way. And we spend a very great deal of time engaged in this pursuit. 40 hours a week, 100 hours a week, we devote our talents and our energies and our strength to acquiring knowledge which may be said to be in an intellectual or a temporal field. Well, this is a tremendously vital and important thing. We encourage it. We urge it upon all people who desire to progress and have enlightenment and advancement in their lives. But my suggestion is that we need to devote an increasingly large portion of our time in the actual pursuit of knowledge in the spiritual realm. And when we get dealing with spiritual realities, we're not talking about getting something by reason. We're not talking about conveying in some way knowledge to the mind or the spirit that is within us through the senses. But we're talking about revelation. We're talking about learning how to come to a knowledge of the things of God by attuning the spirit that we have to the eternal Spirit of God, which is the channel and the way primarily that revelation comes to an individual. It doesn't concern me very much that somebody writes or evaluates or analyzes either a doctrinal or a church problem of any sort when he does it from the standpoint of reason, the standpoint of the intellect. No one questions that everything in the spiritual realm is in total and complete accord with the intellectual realities that we arrive at through reason. But when the two are compared and evaluated and weighed as to their relative merits, The thing that is important is in the spiritual realm and not the intellectual. And the things of God are known only by the Spirit of God. It's true that we can reason about doctrinal matters, but you do not get religion into your life until it becomes a matter of personal experience, until you feel something in your soul, until there's been a change made in your heart, until you become a new creature of the Holy Ghost. Providentially, every member of the church has the opportunity to do this, because every member of the church, in connection with baptism, has the hands of a legal administrator placed on his head, and he's given the promise, "Receive the Holy Ghost." And he thus obtains the gift of the Holy Ghost, which by definition means that he then has the right to the constant companionship of this member of the Godhead based on his personal righteousness and faithfulness. Well, now I say that we're entitled to revelation. I say that every member of the church, independent and irrespective of any position that he may hold, is entitled to get revelation from the Holy Ghost. He's entitled to entertain angels. He's entitled to view the visions of eternity. And if we would like to go the full way and measure, he's entitled to see God the same way that any prophet in literal and actual reality has seen the face of deity. We talk about latter-day prophets. We think in terms of prophets who tell the future destiny of the church and the world. But the fact in addition to that is that every person should be a prophet for himself and in his own concerns and in his own affairs. It was Moses who said, "Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit in them." It was Paul who said, "Covet to prophesy," the counsel that with all our heart and with all our strength, as individuals for our private and personal concerns, we should seek the gift of prophecy. Well, let me take occasion to read a few statements from the Revelations and from the prophet Joseph Smith, which taken together outline the formula, as it were, by which I as an individual and you as an individual can come to know the things of God by the power of the Spirit. One thing the Lord said was, "I will tell you in your mind and in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which shall come upon you and which shall dwell in your heart. Now behold, this is the Spirit of revelation." In other words, Spirit speaking to Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaking to the Spirit within me, and in a way incomprehensible to the intellectual mind, but plain and clear to spiritual understanding hearts, conveying knowledge, giving intelligence, giving truth, giving the sure knowledge of the things of God. Now this applies to everyone. God shall give unto you knowledge by his Holy Spirit, yea, by the unspeakable gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, what is the knowledge we receive? Knowledge that has not been revealed since the world was until now, which our forefathers have awaited with anxious expectation to be revealed in the last time. Here's one, a glorious passage. Now, this is not directed to the general authorities. This is not directed to the prophets of God. This is directed to every living soul in the church. In other words, it is a personal revelation to you. "Thus saith the Lord, I, the Lord, am merciful and gracious unto those who fear me, and delight to honor those who serve me in righteousness and in truth unto the end. Great shall be their reward, and eternal shall be their glory. And to them, the whole body of the kingdom now, to them will I reveal all mysteries, yea, all the hidden mysteries of my kingdom from days of old, and for ages to come will I make known unto them the good pleasure of my will concerning all things pertaining to my kingdom. Yea, even the wonders of eternity shall they know, and things to come will I show them, even the things of many generations. And their wisdom shall be great, and their understanding reach to heaven. And before them the wisdom of the wise shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent shall come to naught. For by my Spirit will I enlighten them, and by my power will I make known unto them the secrets of my will, yea, even those things which eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor yet entered into the heart of man. Now I said we could entertain angels. We can dream dreams. We can see visions. We can see the face of the Lord. Here's the promise in that field. Verily, thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass that every soul who forsaketh his sins and cometh unto me, and calleth on my name, and obeyeth my voice, and keepeth my commandments, shall see my face, and know that I am. The prophet said that the veil might as well be rent today as any day, provided that we would come together as the elders of the kingdom, in faith and in righteousness, and qualify to have the visions of eternity. Now here's a statement from Joseph Smith. Salvation cannot come without revelation. And I am not now speaking of the revelation that gave the dispensation in which we live. I'm speaking of personal revelation to individuals. It is vain for anyone to minister without it. No man is a minister of Jesus Christ without being a prophet. No man can be a minister of Jesus Christ except he has the testimony of Jesus, and this is the spirit of prophecy. Whenever salvation has been administered, it has been by testimony. Now note this. Men of the present time testify of heaven and hell and have never seen either. And I will say that no man knows these things without this. We are entitled to revelation. Personal revelation is essential to our salvation. The scriptures abound in illustrations of what has happened. Here's one of the things Nephi said, giving the voice of God, the word of God. If ye will not harden your hearts and ask me in faith, believing that ye shall receive, with diligence in keeping my commandments, surely these things shall be made known unto you. Here's a Book of Mormon statement about some tremendously successful missionaries, the sons of Mosiah. They were men of sound understanding, and they had searched the scriptures diligently, that they might know the word of God. But this is not all. They had given themselves to much prayer and fasting. Therefore, they had the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation, and when they taught with power and authority from God. I'll take time for one more quotation, and this is the prophet Joseph Smith. A person may profit by noticing the first intimation of the spirit of revelation. For instance, when you feel pure intelligence flowing into you, it may give you a sudden stroke of ideas, so that by noticing it, you may find it fulfilled the same day or soon. That is, those things that were presented unto your mind by the Spirit of God will come to pass. And thus, by learning the Spirit of God and understanding it, you may grow into the principle of revelation until you become perfect in Christ Jesus. The Scriptures abound in this. The prophet and all of the prophets have said much about it. Now, what it means to us is that we need religious experience. We need to become personally involved with God. Our concern is not to read what somebody has said about religion. I read occasionally, frequently, primarily for amusement or diversion, what somebody has said in a critical vein about the church, or what some Protestant professor of religion has said about the tenets of Christianity. Actually, what they say and their views aren't worth a snap of the fingers as far as importance is concerned. It is totally immaterial what somebody has to say about the church in a critical vein, who is writing to evaluate from an intellectual standpoint a doctrine or a practice or a so-called program of the church. It's just totally inconsequential as far as the church is concerned and as far as spiritually inclined people are concerned. Religion is not a matter of the intellect. Now, I repeat that the better the intellect, the more we're able to evaluate spiritual principles. And it's a marvelous thing to be learned and educated and have insight and mental capacity, because we can use these talents and abilities in the spiritual realm. But what counts in the field of religion is to become a personal participant in it. Instead of reading all that has been written and evaluating all that all the scholars of all the world have said about heaven and hell, we need to do what the prophet said: gaze 5 minutes into heaven, and as a consequence, no more than all that has ever been evaluated and written and analyzed on the subject. Religion is a matter of getting the Holy Ghost into the life of an individual. Now, we study, of course, and we need to evaluate, and by virtue of our study, we come up with some foundations that get us in the frame of mind so that we can seek the things of the Spirit. But in the end result, it's getting our souls touched by the Spirit of God. Now, you'd like a formula to tell you how to get revelation. It might perhaps be written in many ways. My formula is simply this: first, search the Scriptures. Second, keep the commandments. And third, ask in faith. And any person who will do this will get his soul and his heart so in tune with the infinite that there will come into his being from the still small voice the eternal realities of religion. And as he progresses and advances and comes nearer to God, there'll be a day when he will entertain angels, when he will see visions, and the final end is to view the face of God. Religion is a thing of the Spirit. Use all the intellectuality you can to help you, but in the final analysis, you have to get in tune with the Lord. Now, the first great revelation that a person needs to get is to know of the divinity of the work, and we call that a testimony. And when he gets a testimony, he's thereby learned how to get in tune with the Spirit and get revelation. And so, repeating the connection, getting a new in tune, he can get knowledge to direct him in his personal affairs, and ultimately, enjoying and progressing and advancing in this gift, he can get the revelations of eternity that the prophet or all the prophets have had in all the ages. Now, to some extent, I, along with you, have received revelation. I have received revelation that tells me that this work is true. And as a consequence, I know it, and I know it independent of any study and any research. And I know it because the Holy Spirit has spoken to the Spirit that is within me and given me a testimony. And as a consequence, I can stand as a legal administrator and say in truth and in verity that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Joseph Smith is his prophet, that David O. McKay wears the prophetic mantle today, that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth. And further, in connection with the matter we are here considering, I can certify and testify that every living soul who will abide the law, who will search the Scriptures, who will keep the commandments, and who will ask in faith, can have personal revelation from the Almighty to the great glory and satisfaction of his soul here and to his ultimate salvation in the mansions on high, which may God grant for all of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.